You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
That's right. You're tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. It is your girl, Gundo Ravingani, here standing in for Zanele Zama. And right now on the phone, I am going to be trying to get a hold of our pastor who will be joining us. That is Pastor Basil. And we are going to be looking at belief, you know, basically miracles, back to the source. And just to start off our conversation, belief is in miraculous happenings is a feature of practicality in religions and the essence of miracles. For example, belief in reports regarding miracles is universal. Through our functions, nature, and purpose, the explanation vary from social to cultural, including theoretical and theoretical and philosophical context in which they appear. Today, we're going to speak about the source, right? The source of miracles. And we're joined on the line by a Pastor Basil. How are you doing today, Pastor?
I'm well, thank you. How are you this morning?
I am fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us here on AWR SID Media.
Thank you for having me.
So, as I said to our listeners, we are just going to continue the conversation that I believe you've been having or will continue to have with Zanele Zama, but we're looking at miracles, right? And today we're looking at the significance of going back to the source. And I guess the first question or first statement should be, can you just reiterate on the differences between miracles, magic, coincidences, and other various, you know, divine occurrences?
Okay. So maybe let's start with a miracle. From yesterday, we were saying a miracle is something that happens. It's an extraordinary event. And for it to happen, God has to be involved. It's either God is trying to show off his power, God is trying to convey a message maybe to a certain individual, or God is trying to call someone even closer to themselves. Because miracles, at the end of the day, they are supposed to be God-centered. Right. So maybe with that as a springboard, it can help us maybe to understand the difference between a miracle and magic. To say miracles are God-centered, whereas magic is now centered on the individual, is now concentrating on the performer, and the source of it is no longer God. So once the source is no longer God, it becomes something else which is no longer a miracle.
Right.
Then as for coincidences, this is a tricky one.
Right? Thanks.
Because I'm thinking of a situation whereby people now start to talk about predestination, and whereby some things just happen by chance. But as a Christian, I believe that nothing happens by chance, no coincidence. God allows everything to happen for a reason, for a purpose, whether it is good, whether it is bad. Then Romans then says, all things then work together for good to them that love the Lord. So that then discards the issue of coincidences.
Okay, so the thing is, though, what about those people who say things like, it's not coincidence, God, I prayed for this, so, you know, and God is going to definitely, like, this is him answering my prayers, but it's something that you put in place yourself. Is that not then, I don't know, is it God being merciful? Is God being merciful, you know, or is it a situation where you're just lying to yourself and you're trying to figure out what God's mission is for you and you're telling him what it is?
Yeah, I think that's one of the most challenges we face as Christians, whereby we don't let God be God. We want God to work miracles or do certain things for us according to how we want him to do. Take, for instance, Naaman. Naaman goes to Israel and he is told to say, if you want to be cured and to be healed, you need to go to the river Jordan. And Jordan to him was one of the filthiest rivers that he could think of. And then he says, I thought that the man of God was going to tell me to go to these other places, not Jordan, because there are other places which are nicer, which are cleaner, which are clearer, than this muddy Jordan of which he is telling me to go to. So we have got these, how can I put it across? We have these expected God to work in. We have these things that we want him to do, and then God ceases to be God if he does that. For God to be God, he needs to work according to how he does his things, and thus then the miracle becomes a miracle by it being done by God and by it being something that is beyond our ability, that is beyond our norm. That's what makes it a miracle at the end of the day.
As Christians, we don't often talk about magic per se, or, you know, as Africans, it could take form in different ways. But I believe that it's a conversation that needs to be had, because if we truly believe in the power that we possess and the God that we serve, I think this is something that we should talk about. So when we talk about magic and the use of, you know, for lack of a better word, you know, people would say that they need to go get themselves cleansed or whatever the case is. And we're talking about people who have been born and raised in the church. Right. And
that's the sad part.
Yeah. So I just want to know, like, how realistic. OK, not necessarily realistic, because I feel as though we are fighting a bigger war than we can ever see. And of course, as you just stipulated that, you know, sometimes we think we know what God's plan is, but he's fighting something different, or he's creating these coincidences, or that seem like coincidences to us that aren't coincidences. But what about those things where you are sure that, you know what, no man, something is off, something is not correct, and what is the move as a Christian when you feel that?
Maybe the lesson today brings a somewhat of a clear picture, whereby it's telling us to go back to the source. And yesterday I was asked by Zaza to say, which miracle do you think is the first miracle? And I pointed out to say the creation to me personally. This is not what the church believes, but this is what I personally believe. Creation is the first miracle, because God gets to showcase his power, whereby he comes and he creates everything from nothing. To me, that's one of the greatest miracles. And then when you go to Revelation chapter 14, we're now going to the three angels' message. We're looking at the great controversy. It's all talking and bringing us back to the source. To say it's either God or it's either the devil. So when Satan gets chased out from heaven, he was not stripped of his powers. And so when he comes down, he comes to this here earth, that's where now we are now getting all these people are now doing these other magic, not miracles, magic,
yes.
Which are so-called miracles. And through conjuring, through doing all these dark things, especially in the African context, not saying that in the European or in the other Eastern
that
context,
it's not
context,
the same, but okay. Yes.
But it's the same. So we have the devil not stripped of his powers, and through his agencies, the demons, he gives people these powers. And when they do these things now, they do what is called magic. And what we need to understand is we're coming back to the source, is it? A miracle is from God. The magic, from my understanding, is from the devil. And one thing we also need to understand in this great controversy we are in as a human race, as Christians, is that the devil is always going to bring about counterfeits. You look at an instance whereby God says, for you to be saved, looking at the sanctuary, during the Day of Atonement, there is one goat that is going to be taken all the sins of the people, and they're going to be cast on that goat, and then it's going to be thrown away into the wilderness. The devil comes with a counterfeit. You go to a witch doctor, they're going to say, you know what? You have some evil spirits that are in the family. What you need is a black chicken, and you need to take that chicken and go throw it into the wilderness. So you find that the devil always has some counterfeits. God has magic, has miracles, sorry, and then the devil comes with a counterfeit, which is magic. So it is important for us to go back to the source and understand miracles are from God. Magic is that of the devil, which includes conjuring, which includes divination. And when you go back to the Bible, you find that God discards all those things. It was actually an offense that could be punishable even by death.
Hey! You know, I think we live in a very different time, because when it's like punishable by death, it means just even making a small mistake that you thought, you know what, it's not going to be that bad. Oh, it's bad. It's
and
bad.
Then you get stoned. I was thinking of being stoned yesterday. Ooh. And I was like, how did those people die to be stoned to death? And I'm imagining one stone or a little rock hitting you, and you're like, ouch, And then now imagine a big rock being held at you by big men. Definitely living at different times.
I mean, okay. And you know, when you say living in different times, you know, we're living in a space of so much information. And when I say that, I'm going to move to my next question, right? And it's leading to that. But I want us to go into this a little bit more. Recently is a bit too soon. When I was at church once upon a time, a lady had just gotten remarried to somebody, and the daughter happened to practice Wicca, which is witchery, I guess.
Okay.
Or, you know, the Wicca practice. But anyway, I think I'm misunderstanding what it is because I don't know enough about it. But the point is, she explained to me that actually Wicca was there before God even created Earth. Right? Okay. Now we're competing with people who have this vision, this view. And she had a lot to say about it. Not that I had anything to, you know, investigate or know more about. I didn't really want to know more about it at the time. But I just am, I'm thinking about how we have to walk into the space where there is so much knowledge about how people will say different things about where their religions were originated and what is to be believed as real and not, and whatever the case may be. So, I just want to know, how do we then go into spaces in the world and tell them that our truth is the real one?
I think, who was it? I think it was Pastor Mashudu. He made mention, I forgot him, but I think it was him.
Pastor Mashudu, Mashudu Ravingani.
Yes. We had him for camp beside in Zim.
Oh, that's so my father. That is entertaining. Okay, cool. Let's move. Yes. All right. You were saying.
So, these days, many a times we go to church and then we go home and we tell people we're not at church to say, you know what? The pastor was so powerful today. And I'm like, and then he goes on to say, and then you ask them and say, what did you say? You're like, my guy, you missed out. The pastor was so on point. So the point that he was driving home was that many a times, in fact, yeah, the punch of the line was that he then says, I don't want to hear what the pastor said. I want to see through your living, through your daily life, what the pastor said. So I think one of the many ways we as the Adventist Church, as Christians, we can try to show people the truth is by living the truth. The problem is that many a times, especially as Adventists, we don't believe the power thereof. Many a times you find that the people who go to these witch doctors, who go to the false prophets, are people who are actually coming from the church. So at the end of the day, when you try to say, no, our truth is the truth, people find it very hard to believe because we are living a double standard. We are double dipping. We are going that side and then we come back and then we sing Jehovah and all these other things. But we are not living the truth. So for me, I think the ultimate way we can show this truth and share it is by living it, such that when we get to a point whereby we're now sharing it and telling it, people are able to listen because we have shown it by the way we live. I don't know if I'm making sense there.
You are making more than sense, Pastor. Also, my father is not a pastor. He's an evangelist, or you know, he may act like he's a pastor, but please, hey, that man is just doing his best to serve the Lord. Anywho,
to me, pastor is a
wow. Truly, let's get into. I have a question here from a listener. Right, they're talking about and I was trying to lead us to our next question because you were speaking towards where I'm going. But I think this is an important question as well. We're looking at Bible characters in the Bible, such as the disciples, including Jonah, who casted lots in whether to know, you know, what they must do next. What are we to say about that?
Maybe what I can say is God works within a context. And the context can either be cultural or it can be according to the environment that you are in. So God, like I was saying yesterday, he writes the Bible, but it doesn't take out the individuality of a person. So God comes to us from what we already know, from what we already understand. Which is why you find that even when he says to Abraham, sacrifice your son, it was something that was within that culture, within that environment, within that context. So the casting of lots, it was something that was done. But maybe what's important also, I'm afraid that people can end up saying the end justifies the means. But God would work through the casting of lots during that time. And we're coming back also to the issue of source. The devil also makes a counterfeit. That's why you find that even when you go to the traditional healers, they also cast the lots. Like if you watch the Mr. Bones, he would throw some bones on the ground and started, you know, interpreting them, which is somewhat pretty much to the casting of lots that God had. Maybe what I can say is we need to understand that God has a way that he works. And with the way that God works, the devil always comes with a counterfeit. Anything that God has put up as an institution, the devil will always come out with a counterfeit. So for me, casting of lots was God's way of communicating. And then that's why you find even the use of Urim and Thummim. But later on, the devil also comes with that also and counterfeits and then starts using it to his own side and advantage.
And talking about, you know, counterfeit, how do we discern the source of power that we're linking to?
The source.
Yes, because what I mean by this question is the following. We have a lot of people who, by and by, get through the day. Get through, you know, church services, stand on, you know, pulpits, stand in places and, you know, speak on the name of the Lord and things that are quite relevant and quite important for us to move on. And maybe one could say that, you know, God uses that person even though they are not that person. But the question I have is, how then do you know who you're linked to? Because yes, you may say one thing, but then your actions are completely different. Does that then mean your source is not that of the Lord, but that of the devil? Because as you said, he did not lose his power. So can you still then mimic the emulation of having a relationship with God, even though you are not in the right position or source or getting it from the right source?
Maybe what I can say is when you look at the teaching from the Bible, it makes mention of how we ought to be vigilant of false prophets who are going to come and they're going to perform miracles. And these miracles, they are going to be more or less, or to a certain point, the Bible says, if it were possible, they would deceive even the very elect. So we need to be able then to discern to say, what is this miracle or what is this thing coming from? What is the source? And for us to be able to do that, we need to come back to the word of God. We need then to look at the characteristics and the lives of these people. They are what we call tests of a true prophet, whereby we're looking at a number of things to say, okay, this person, what they are saying, is it in line with the word of God? What this person is saying or how they are living. And the Bible even says, by their fruits you shall know them. So we then ought to look at a number of things that then show us about this person, about this character, to say, but with the way they talk or the way they live or the way they do certain things, I would think then that the source is not the one.
Sorry, Pastor. I'm banning about this topic. I'm banning. You see, the thing is, I hear you. You know, we're talking about things that we can actually, like, see. You know, the ones you're mentioning are things that we, you know, sometimes you're like, aye, man, hey, this person's lying. Or yes, you can tell, you know. But I'm talking about people who thoroughly deceive others, okay? As in thoroughly, as in,
yes.
As I'm sitting here, I could be one of those deceiving human beings, right? Who is trying to have this conversation of genuine honesty about Christ, but has nothing to do with where my source is, you know? And it's not about what other people see. I'm not asking about what others see and what we must interpret from other people's journeys. I'm talking about my personal journey. When I'm walking, how do I know that actually my source? I know that you're talking about, you know, re-linking yourself to the word, but there's this thing called lying to yourself. You know? Okay. This thing called telling yourself that you know where you are. You know? There's this thing of convincing yourself you're in a position where you're not. So my question is, how then do we, you know, remove that that thought of thinking we are better than others or ratseba betere, and know that actually this is a relationship with God and not the devil?
Okay. Ultimately, maybe what I can say is the things of God, they are not selfish. The reason why the devil gets chased out of heaven, and the reason why those who worship him or those who subscribe to him, is because of the issue of selfishness. So once you find yourself now in a point whereby you are becoming selfish, whereby other people's well-beings, whereby even the space that you are in, you know, there are some people like, you know what, I don't care whether how I say it, as long as they get the truth.
You see now? And there's no need to hurt people, please. Don't make an excuse. Right.
Exactly. So we need to be cognizant of our environment. So instead of lying to ourselves, miracles, they come from God. Miracles are there to glorify God. Miracles are not for self. You're looking at Acts chapter 8, verse 9 going on. You find that there's a lot of boasting. There's a lot of self. Looking at the sons of Sceva, you're looking at Simeon or Simon. You find that people who were performing these miracles, especially in Ephesus, they were mainly doing them so as to gratify themselves, so as to bring themselves to be honored and the likes. So for us not to lie to ourselves, I think we need to die to self. And Ellen White, one of my favorite writers, says, the greatest battle that we are going to face in this here earth is the battle against the self.
You know, I may not really like aunties. I don't really, you know, I'm joking. But that's something of genuine importance, you know, that battle with yourself. And I think that brings us to our final question, because I have been so interested that I have almost made you run out of time. what is the danger in seeking solace or peace in other sources?
The most dangerous thing about that is, once the devil gets a hold of you and he has his grip, he has his claws on you, it's difficult to come out. Let's take, for example, people who are now getting rich quickly through these other means, which are not the source from God. Many a times I hear people saying, money is the root of evil. No. The Bible says the love of money. So as a result, people now go out and they start to try and find these other means. And you notice that all the people who have gone to find wealth through these other devilish means, their lives have ended in a sad fate. So if we go to these other sources, I'm sad to say this, the clutches of it will not let go of us up until we are downtrodden, up until we are far worse than the point where we began at. So it is imperative that we stay away. The writer again, Andy, she says, stay away from the devil's brain. That is in the book, Mind, Character, and Personality.
Right.
Stay away from the devil's brain.
Well, Pastor Basil, thank you so much for joining us here on AWR SID Media. I think that
was a
really good conversation. Thank you so much for, you know, running with me and all the various questions I had, including the random one from our listener. Oh, Lord. Anyway, thank you so much. Have a blessed day and stay blessed.
Thank you. Likewise, have a great one.
All right, bye. That was Pastor Basil coming to us all the way from Zim. It was fantastic to have a conversation with him about the question of miracle and going back to the source and just basically identifying, where should our source be? Right now, we're going to take a quick interval and we'll be back right after this.
Be part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Get connected to Adventist World Radio SID Media on social media platforms. On Facebook, we are AWR SID Media. On Twitter, at @AWRSID_media. On Instagram, we are @AWR_SID Media. And on TikTok, @AWRSID Media. Do follow us and be part of sharing the gospel. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.